tonight. 1 Samuel tonight, chapter 23. This will be what I would guess to be a short message here this evening. Stop pinching that baby when I get up here. Such an excuse she uses every time to get out of the preaching. Time for the preaching. Pinch the baby and go. I don't know what she said, but it wasn't good the way those laughs hit, so I know. First Samuel chapter 23. I just want to look at a couple of verses here. Starting in verse 14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask your blessing upon the message here this evening. I pray that you be glorified and honored in it. Lord, control what I say and Lord, how I say it. Lord, may the truth of what we're going to see here tonight, may it truly help us and change us and help us in our walk to be a stronger Christian and to encourage others and to be strengthened in their Christian walk. And Lord, again, I love you and I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Let me start off with a couple of questions here this evening. Probably not everybody follows sports. How many of you follow sports? Put your hand up, and even if it's just somewhat. But you follow sports, scores. Is that all? We got to get this church right. Is that all we have in here? What is wrong with us? Mike, no. All right, of those that raised your hand, who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? That would be incorrect. It wasn't Cleveland. That's an obvious one, since they've never won one. All right, who won 4 years ago the World Series? You don't know. Don't even try. I don't know. 5 years ago, by the way, was the Buccaneers. What's that? Texas? Oh, the Rangers. You got to get right with God if you know that, brother. That's just something. 7 years ago, who won it? 6 years ago. 5 years ago. Do you follow Texas? Is that how you know that? Okay. Just happen to know that. Huh? That's pretty good. All right. Of course, the leader of the free world, what's his name right now? Donald Trump. Okay. Who's the next most important world leader, would you say? Putin, I would agree with that. Third, China, whatever his name is, Jing, I don't know. Those are the easy ones. After that, I wonder if you know the names. If I could give you the country's names, if you would know them right now. If I was to give you the name of the, and some might, I would expect there's probably a few in here if I'd say give me the Prime Minister of Great Britain or the, is it, what's the leader of India called? What, did somebody say Trump? What was that? What's that? Oh. Roy, who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Exactly. Most of those we'd have to struggle to come up with. I was going to do news events. What's the biggest news event? And by year, I looked those up for what the last several years of what they were from January 6th a couple years ago, Ukraine war, I believe 5 years ago it would have been, and Trump last year winning the election was the biggest. But I had to look those up. It wasn't off the top of my head. Once I saw them, oh, yes, I remember that. But if Jerry came and asked me, I'd been like, I don't know. All right. So more questions now. Think of this. Could you name three people that have helped you through a difficult time right now? My guess is every single one of us could. Could you name three people who have helped you with your walk with God? My guess is you could. Could you name three people who have taught you something that has helped you in life? My guess is you could. There's a lesson in that. We never remember the headlines of the previous years. All the awards, achievements, they're all forgotten. You lose sight of them. You forget about those things. But what we don't forget about is the people that have made a difference in our life. That's something that you do not forget. The truth is, most of us with different awards and that we've won personally, we probably forgot those on a personal level, what they are. We'd have to be reminded of what they were. But I don't have to be reminded about my youth pastor when I was just starting to serve the Lord. Or the key different people that God's put in my life to help me. Some of the key teachers in my life. I don't need any help remembering that at all. We remember those things. Jonathan is one of the greatest examples, I believe, of what a true friend looks like. Of what friendship actually involves. What it means. David, as we know from studying the life of David when we went through it, he was a man just like any of us. Flesh, ups and downs in his life. One of the people that God used in his life so that he did not quit was Jonathan. Jonathan made a difference in the life of David. And think how the Lord ended up using David. This was a man who knew how to encourage David. He strengthened him. He made David a better person. He strengthened his hand in God. That's why he made him a better person. We all, of course, need a Jonathan in our life, but that's not necessarily the point that I'm going for. More often, I hope that we would be a Jonathan to someone else. And so what I want to do just for a few minutes, I just have a few things here this evening of looking at Jonathan and what made him such a great, true friend. So number one here, Jonathan, in his relationship to David, was very unselfish. He was. It's not that David was selfish either. He wasn't. But I'm saying a self-centered person who is selfish and thinks of self will never be a good friend to someone else. That's not how that's going to work out. They're the ones always needing, always taking in because it's about them. But if you're going to be a Jonathan, you have got to have an unselfish approach. I mean, you would think from a fleshly carnal standpoint that Jonathan will want David out of the way. He knew, you know, really how this monarchy thing should work. I should be the king. But he knew that's not going to happen. He knew the Lord has picked David. David will be the next king. And you know what? He was great with that. He didn't want to see David dead or out of the way. He wanted to see David, his friend, the king, in that place that God called him to. You see, because a true friend then has your best interest in mind. What's best for you? I mean, when he saw David, he went to David into the wood. He knew David. His dad's trying to kill him. He knew David, a man, his friend of ups and downs. Because I've got to get to David. I don't want to see David quit. And he strengthened his hand in God. He went to David to find him. He knew he needed to be a help to him. there's times when Jonathan was stern with David, because that's what David needed to hear. This was a man who strengthened his walk with God, and that is the key. He wanted to see David's relationship grow with God to be what he should be before the Lord. And really, we could divide the people in our life into two categories. Those who truly draw us closer to God, and those who pull us away from the Lord. Guess what group you better spend your time with? And that just because they go to church doesn't mean they draw you closer to God. Do you understand that? I mean, David, this is the exact friend that David needed. Because this was a man, when he saw him, and said, David, listen, you got this. I'm going to strengthen. It says exactly what he did. He strengthened his hand in the Lord. You're going to do what God's called you to do. You're going to do what's right. You're not going to quit. My father's not going to find you. That's not how this is going to work. Stay focused on God, not on your circumstances. You will be the next king. Stay close to those who don't pull you away from God, but draw you to Him. And parents, the same thing we can apply in our parenting relationship. I'll get to that a bit more later. Don't be enabling your children. The goal is God. Our heart can deceive us. Verse 17, a true friend sees what you are now, but also sees what you can become. He sees where you're at now, but he sees what you can become. If you're strengthened in the Lord and you're following God, I know what you can become. And you urge towards that direction. Jonathan knew David would be king. And that's the direction he encouraged him. He already knew what had happened in his life and the anointing that took place with Samuel. He knew this is God's will for his life. This is what God has for him. So he encouraged him in that direction. Again, I'm thankful for, I think back to that, my pastor in my teenage years and the youth pastor at that time, who he would even become the best man in my wedding. Who, when I was 16 and just starting to grow with a ton of questions and knew nothing. Boy, they took the time. They took the time to listen to even that time. I think back where I'm so thankful the Lord knew what I would need. Where here I am, I'm already saved at the church and without a pastor almost since I've been saved. Freshman year in high school is over with. My life's getting ready to get in a whole lot of trouble at this time. And outside, again, rock music blasting, hacky sack on the driveway, and the new pastor pulls up. And still, of course, my mom did not go to church. She was not saved yet. I was still attending on Sunday mornings, going with my uncle just to Sunday school and going home. And I knew we had voted on a new pastor, but I wasn't part of that at all. I had not even met him yet till that day in my driveway. And he said, he let me know, he knew that I was attending, he let me know, first, again, what I should say is what he said, I said, well, you can go and talk to my mom. It never occurred to me he was there to talk to me. He said, no, I'm just here to see you. And he says, I know you've been coming, we got services now, back Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, starting right now, immediately, I want to see you at all the services. Man, I was so glad he did that. And then getting into Sunday school class for the first time without just being a little booklet and just reading it. Having somebody open up a lesson and teaching. They were people that tried to strengthen me in the Lord. There were times when I was heading the wrong direction, they had no trouble pulling me aside and saying, what in the world are you doing? You can't be doing this. Now listen to me, this is an important key. key to this. How was Jonathan in a position to be so unselfish? Truly following even the New Testament principle, the Old Testament principle, esteeming others better than self. How was he in this place of truly even going to seek out David, strengthen his hand in God, even though if he's out of the way, he becomes king? It's simple. It's not complex. Because Jonathan was right with God. Because Jonathan desired God. His life was about God. You can see the unselfishness. You can see what he wanted to do was to glorify God. And in order for us to have right relationship with others, we can have relationship with multitudes of people. We can be friends, but it doesn't make it right. What will make it right is when you are close to God. You must first have that right relationship with God. This same principle, by the way, applies in marriage. Your marriage is struggling? No, the first thing you work on isn't the problem with the marriage. It's not. It isn't. It's your walk with God. That's where you start. You start with getting yourself right with God. Yeah, but you don't know everything that she's doing. You don't know everything. I don't. But I do know this, it starts with you getting right with God. It starts with you getting close to God. But they need to just stop. Starts with you. You see, because then it changes your attitude. And a right attitude begins to flow because of your desire for the Lord. So when having problems with each other, first concentrate on your relationship with God. And from there, you can allow God to begin to direct. Remember, we don't do good based on how others treat us. We do good because of God. The same thing you can even put at a personal sin level. Different even things we were bringing out this morning as you learn more of God. The thing seems to have you whipped and have you beaten. Listen, we all have flesh. Doesn't matter who you are. You're going to have those battles and those fights. And sometimes you think, I just can't. Listen, one of the keys is, it's just like I dealt with, and use not the strength. It's not you concentrating on breaking the on the sin. You're going to be up and down because it's using your strength. What you start to concentrate on is your walk and your relationship with God. Drawing close to Him. It's within that realm you gain the power to break free from what has you. Same thing again with our children. When we're trying to rear our children, it's not teaching your children to be obedient when you're around or for the sake of mom and dad. You're going to regret that one day. It's raising your kids because they want to love God and do right because of Him. Same principle. Jonathan was able to do this in David's life because he was close to the Lord. Also, another element of a good friend right here. What I see in these few verses is Jonathan's resolve. David was hiding out. This wasn't going to be an easy task for Jonathan to get to David. But you knew what? You knew you could just see Jonathan. No, he's back by the palace. His dad's trying to kill him. His dad's been out trying to kill him. And Jonathan's faith at this point is greater than David's faith. I mean, you can go through about it. You can see Jonathan was a man of faith. This was a man that walked with God. And he is there, and he knows David. It's his best friend. He goes, I don't want to see David quit. I know he's hiding. And he gets his gear together, everything he's going to need. He can't bring really anybody with him. And he heads out. That took resolve. I've got to find him. He had the purpose to go and be a help to David. David's in hiding. This would not be easy. But he determined, I've got to help him. We need to determine to be a help to others. Seek to find someone and determine to encourage them, to strengthen their hand in God. Parents, do this for your children. Look to encourage them with the Lord. Determined to do so. At times it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be convenient. Don't make your parenting or your friendships about convenience. Another way it takes the form, look to be a help in strengthening others. Maybe there's somebody you know right now that's struggling with their walk with God. Seek to be a help. That, and pray for wisdom with it. That doesn't mean call them up. You are not right with God. What is your problem? No. It might just simply call up, listen, I'm praying for you. I know maybe spiritually you're struggling right now, but I want you to know I'm here. And the Lord is always going to be the way to go. Man, look at this verse that I was reading today and thinking of you. Encourage them towards the Lord. We need to be looking to help others with their walk with God. And at times, I can remember going both ways. I remember, in even trying to be a friend, if you remember some of my background in my youth, my best friend had become the youth pastor's son. And when I was a year older than him. So I was 17, he was 16 when we had to go different directions. And that just wasn't me going a different direction. That was after much, much encouragement with him. I mean, we were together just about 7 days a week. And then all of a sudden, there was a sort of a measure of freedom in his mind that he got when he got his driver's license. Now, don't I'd already recognized things prior. I don't know how many times, because I'd stay at his house 3 or 4 nights. He'd be at my house. I mean, literally every single morning, I'd get Ricky, get up, do your devotion, get up. No, I can't. I'd literally dump water on him. Get up and do your devotion. And sometimes he would, but I could even tell then when I'd watch him. It's just because I made him. So the signs were there for what was coming. Listen, when you see that, and if you try and encourage him in the Lord, don't enable it. And try. And sometimes you'll listen. I had those who did listen, those who didn't. So Jonathan had the resolve to be a help to David, to encourage him, to strengthen his hand in the Lord. He didn't want David to quit. He knew, David, man, God's will for you is to be king. This is what you're going to do. This is the path you follow. I mean, and you can just imagine, we just have this brief few words given to us. You could just imagine Jonathan encouraging his faith, getting him re-excited about God. And lastly, let me cover this. I believe there was great reward in this for Jonathan. I believe it encouraged him. I believe when he left from after he found David and encouraged him and saw David's countenance change and the discussions they had, I believe that encouragement had just hit Jonathan. I believe even the Spirit of God giving him a great measure of encouragement from it. He knew this was God's will. Jonathan's reward was simply knowing this when he left after that short visit with David. He just simply knew, I know the Lord just used me. What's greater than that? Really, what's greater than knowing that God just used you? And when he gets to David and he sees he's down and all that, he's battling with it, and Jonathan gets there, no, David, you got this. You will be king. And then through the conversation, strengthening his hand in God. A great reward is knowing that the Almighty God is using you. Because the truth is, life is all about glorifying God and being used of Him. That's where true measure of satisfaction comes from. Knowing, man, the Lord, man, I saw how the Lord just used my life. What's better than that? Would it not be so great to know that the Lord used you to encourage somebody from quitting? From saying, mm-mm. And it takes different forms and different shapes in how you do that. You pray for wisdom. I think even of a dinner I have coming up, praying for wisdom for it. Just so concerned. And it's nobody in this church, but still so concerned. So, have you ever wondered what would have happened to David if Jonathan wasn't there? Or if Jonathan decided, I want to be king. I don't want to follow God. I know Samuel, I think Samuel got that wrong from God. We're great at that today, aren't we? We do that all the time. Now, Samuel got that wrong. Samuel didn't actually mean to anoint David. All right. He was just trying to encourage Jesse's family. You do understand that, right? I mean, we see what God is doing with Saul. I mean, did not God call Saul? So we already know. It's going to be me. I'm next. That was just being encouragement to Jesse's poor little family over there in Bethlehem. That's all that was. Listen, we do that stuff all the time. We do that stuff all the time. Jonathan, he never looked for excuses to justify his own selfish actions. He simply wanted what God wanted. And what he knew God wanted was David to be king. And he sought to be an encouragement in that direction. Listen, let's seek to be a Jonathan. Let's seek to encourage others, to strengthen others in their hand in the Lord, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, I know we don't have any visitors here, but I'm still going to ask, just in case it's bothering someone here right now, is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me about my salvation. I am not certain I'm going to heaven. I am not certain. Would you please pray for me? If that's anyone here, would you just raise your hand for me? Anyone here like that right now? Just raise your hand and put it back down. All right, just some small children. All right, Christian, if the Lord spoke to your hearts, right, you need to come and pray. Why don't you come and pray? Father in heaven, bless this invitation, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Page 490, 490. If you need to come.